Hey guys, I'd like to introduce you to a new podcast that I know you're going to love. Do you like travel? Do you like picturesque locations and getting away from it all? Well, this new podcast has all that and murder. It's called Slaycation, and it's a darkly humorous look at murders and mysterious deaths that took place on vacation. Hosted by a true crime fanatic, her comedy writer husband, and his TV producing partner, Slaycation brings a unique perspective to chilling, thrilling, and WTF stories of vacations gone horribly wrong. From the twisted tale of Harold and Tony Henthorne, whose romantic anniversary in the Rocky Mountains ended with one of them falling off a cliff, to Angelica and Vincent, two recently engaged lovebirds whose Hudson Valley kayaking adventure ended underwater. Each episode of Slaycation will have you asking, accident or murder? But it's not just the stories that'll intrigue you. It's the discussion between a longtime married couple and business partners who happen to be Emmy-nominated TV producers. Each episode of Slaycation also includes humor, takeaway and travel tips that will keep your next vacation from being your last. If you're ready to pack your body bags, Slaycation is available on all major podcast platforms. Search for Slaycation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Welcome to Twisted News, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And today, we have some very interesting ones for you as we first look at a horror movie from back in the day that was inspired by a very strange and very real-life case that will have you questioning reality. And then, it's down to Nolans, where back in the 80s, a three-year-old girl disappeared right in front of her family after a house fire, and how now her family thinks she's out there somewhere and are desperate to get her back. Get ready for Scary Mysteries, Twisted News. Number 1. Twin Doctors' Mysterious Death. So depending on how much of a horror buff you are, this one might be a deep cut, but regardless, the real-life story that inspired David Cronenberg's 1988 film Dead Ringers is strange and intense. If you're not familiar with the director, he's a Canadian who's had some pretty awesome movies over the decades. He often blurs the line between science fiction and the horror genre, and he loves bloody practical effects. He made Scanners back in 1979, followed by Videodrome, and then The Dead Zone, and then The Fly, which are all horror cult classics. And by 1988, he followed those up by making the movie Dead Ringers. This film stands out as a compelling exploration of identity, duality, and the complex interplay between personal and professional life. Starring Jeremy Irons in a critically acclaimed dual role as Elliot and Beverly Mantle, the film delves deep into the lives of identical twin gynecologists whose inseparable bond eventually leads to their downfall. The narrative, while fictional, draws significant inspiration from the real-life story of Stuart and Cyril Marcus, twin brothers and gynecologists whose tragic end inside their own apartment shook the medical community and provided a rich, albeit disturbing, foundation for Cronenberg's cinematic exploration. Stuart and Cyril Marcus were born in 1930 in Bayonne, New Jersey, and from a young age they did everything together, everything the same. They both went on to Cornell University. Both became gynecologists and both worked at the same hospital in New York City. They even lived together in the same apartment. And they had a close bond, to say the least. They could finish each other's sentences, and in some anecdotal instances, could even sense what the other was doing or thinking whenever they were apart. By the late 60s, these two were at the top of the fertility game, with the wealthiest and NYC elites coming to them to help get pregnant, which they knew how to make happen. And even then, throughout their entire lives, people had trouble telling them apart, and some of their patients even claimed that they swore the twins would play tricks on them, with the brothers pretending to be one another just for their own amusement. All of these shared experiences almost made it like the Marcuses were one single person, which is why, when they died just a few days apart at the age of 45, it seems sort of fitting, but circumstances surrounding their deaths is a bit off-putting. Neighbors living in the doctor's apartment complex at Sutton Terrace noticed a terrible smell coming from their place, apartment 10H, for a number of days. The handyman of the building led police there for a welfare check, and having been a war veteran himself, knew as he approached the door that there most certainly was a dead body decomposing inside. And they opened it up, and strewn everywhere was trash, food, pharmaceuticals. Literally, there was barely an inch of floor space that wasn't covered in something. Half-eaten moldy sandwiches, chicken bones, even a leather chair with human feces in it. This place looked unfit for any human being to be living in, let alone a couple of well-respected doctors. In one room lay the body of a naked steward, except for his socks, on the floor, covered in trash. In another room, on the bed, lay the body of Cyril. Initially, it was assumed this was some sort of pact between the brothers to exit the world together, but there were no outward signs of trauma. Though that made sense, because these two were doctors. There were drugs of all kinds laid about, they could have taken anything. However, after an extensive autopsy, there were no signs of any drugs whatsoever in their systems. No alcohol, no nothing. So, how did two healthy mid-40-year-old twins just pass away at the exact same time, and also what was with that filth? Well, a few months leading up to their deaths, there had been some strange things witnessed by other doctors and nurses at the hospital the twins worked for, or at least it's been alleged. For example, Stuart tried to circumcise a baby using the handle of a knife. They both had shaky hands, loss of memory. The pair had to take a leave of absence from their duties eventually to try and fix themselves up. Because for several years, these two men were apparently habitual users of barbiturates and had likely become addicted. And back at the apartment and trying to kick the habit, they may have stopped taking them, which is what resulted in their deaths, and that would explain why they had no drugs in their systems. Coming off barbiturates cold turkey like that is very dangerous, and while this has certainly never been proven to be the absolute truth, the prevailing theory is that this is what had to have happened. Regardless, though, the fact that they both passed at the same time is a strange notion. David Cronenberg, known for his exploration of body horror and psychological themes, found in the Marcuses' twin story a perfect canvas to explore his interests. Dead Ringers reimagines the twins' lives, focusing on their emotional and psychological entanglement and their mutual descent into drug abuse and madness. The film, however, is not a direct retelling, but rather an inspired adaptation, just using the framework of the Marcus twins' story to delve into broader themes. Dead Ringers uses a lot of symbols and motifs to enhance its exploration of twinhood and identity, so if you like Cronenberg and are interested in the story of these twins, definitely check out the movie. It's a weird one, but in the best sense of the word. Number 2, the vanishing of Ramona Brown. The Ramona Brown case is a deeply intriguing and very weird mystery that has haunted the Brown family for several decades now. It's a case that revolves around a house fire, a strange couple who seemingly offered help, and the disappearance of a 3-year-old girl who vanished in 1984 right in front of her siblings. It was the night of March 5th of 1984 in the city of New Orleans when an unexpected and devastating fire engulfed the home of the Brown family. The aftermath of the blaze was tragic, and two of Ramona Brown's 9 siblings, 2-year-old Kevin and 4-year-old Aubrey Jr., perished in the fire, too young to make it out on their own, while the rest of the family, including her parents and the other siblings, managed to escape with their lives. However, amidst all this chaos, an entirely different tragedy emerged, and that was that Ramona Brown was nowhere to be found. Initially, it was presumed that she might have died in the fire, yet no evidence of her remains were discovered in the ashes. And the fire never got hot enough to completely incinerate a body and bones, yet after digging through, there was nothing there. And this lack of physical evidence led to a perplexing situation. Now, had Ramona somehow survived the fire? And if so, where has she gone, or better yet, who might have taken her? These questions began a decades-long investigation that would involve numerous law enforcement agencies, including the New Orleans PD and the FBI. And over the years, several theories have been proposed regarding what might have happened to the young girl. And some have speculated that she was abducted in the confusion surrounding the fire, possibly by someone who knew the family or even by a stranger who seized the moment of vulnerability among the frantic scene. As you can imagine, the fire drew a crowd, so it's not all that insane that if the right people came along, they could have snatched the girl in the night. Others have wondered if she might have wandered off amidst the chaos, only to be lost or taken in by someone unaware of her identity. But here's the interesting part. One of her siblings, Simona, who was 6 years old at the time, said she watched as Ramona walked off with an older couple who were there apparently to offer help. Another sister in the family, Tiffany, specifically remembers Simona telling her and her family this, that it was an interracial couple that picked the girl up and took her away. After that, from the shock of what she witnessed and the fire itself, Simona became very withdrawn. She had lost 3 of her siblings that night, and so for years, she didn't even talk at all. It wouldn't be until 2018 that she finally reached out to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to tell the story. And since then, the investigation into Ramona's disappearance has been extensive, involving numerous interviews, the distribution of age-progressed images of Ramona, and appeals to the public for any information. Despite these efforts, the case has seen numerous dead ends and false leads, with every potential clue scrutinized for its potential to unravel the mystery. And you can imagine that at just 3 years old at the time of the abduction, if it did in fact happen, she wouldn't remember much. Ramona could certainly be alive today, living under another name and have no clue that she was ever part of another family. The Brown family has remained steadfast in their belief that Ramona is in fact still alive. They've spoken about their unyielding hope to one day reunite with her, emphasizing their conviction that she was taken from the scene of the fire and may still be out there, unaware of her true identity. The disappearance of Ramona Brown has raised awareness about the challenges of missing children cases and the importance of prompt and thorough investigations, and it remains one of the more baffling mysteries of missing persons to come out of Louisiana and all of its history. If anyone out there has any information on the case, they're encouraged to reach out to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 800-843-5678. So there were 2 of the weirdest and strange stories that we have for you guys today. I'm Andrew, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to watch this episode, plus all the rest, go check us out on YouTube. And for even darker true crime stories, check out our exclusive podcasts over on Patreon. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. Really appreciate it. I'll see you guys in the next one.